Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming bright and early. We appreciate it. I don't know if everybody got the alert. Today's the day that the Senate is voting on the International Treaty for Disabilities, and I think there's an alert out asking people to call in senators, and I rarely do things like that, but I did it this morning before they would actually answer the phone, so I didn't have to reveal I wasn't from their state, and I left a nice message. They all have the ability to leave messages, so I encourage other people to do it. And if you don't have the email giving those phone numbers, I'm happy to send it to you, so let me know afterwards. This morning, we have a panel about health surveillance in the population with intellectual disability, and we're going to be talking about case definitions, different data sets, and use at the state level, ultimately. We have a very nice panel of people. If anybody needs any accommodations, please let us know. We'll try to always use the microphone so this is recorded and also audible to everyone. We're going to start our morning with Alex Benardi, who is here, and she's a local. If you get lost, ask Alex. She's here in Boston, and she's at the Shriver Center. She's the director of the Center for DD Evaluation and Research. And she's going to talk this morning about surveillance, case definitions, and that kind of thing. So I'm going to start with her.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear okay? Okay.
No.
All right, let me try this. Is this better? Okay. Okay. Good morning. My name is Alex Bonardi, and this morning I am going to talk about health surveillance in the population with intellectual disabilities. Now, we're focusing on this subpopulation of disabilities. Yesterday, we had a presentation about CDC's efforts towards including disability into the CDC's health surveillance and health promotion agendas. This is critical work. And when the conversation turned to making the data actionable, this is when I started thinking about some of these subpopulations and where some of the action in terms of health promotion really happens, and that's at the states. So this is sort of where I'm coming from. We're going to be talking about state-level data and the surveillance of this population. I have no relevant disclosures for this presentation. And the three things I really want to focus in on today are talking about the operational definition of intellectual disabilities for health surveillance. As you'll see, this is something that has been a challenge to wrap our arms around for quite a while. Then we're going to talk about some of the state-level data that we have been looking for that can describe this population. And the last one is where we are really continuing to work, and that is on to try and understand how representative the data that we are able to find actually is. I'd like to make a few acknowledgments. My colleague Emily Lauer is here from Cedar, UMass, and this project is the main project I'm talking about is actually funded by the CDC through a task order to RTI, and I want to acknowledge my colleagues Ellen Bishop and Lisa Kilpatrick, who are also here from RTI. So what do we know about the population with intellectual disabilities? We know that there's about an estimated 1 to 2% of the population with an intellectual disability. And we know that adults with intellectual disabilities experience poorer access to health care and poorer health outcomes than people without intellectual disabilities. Now, how do we know this? This is from a body of evidence that has looked at some population-level studies. Some of them relatively large, like, for example, the Special Olympics Healthy Athletes Screening, but it's not representative surveillance. We do have surveillance gaps. We know that the population with intellectual disabilities, or at least very least we suspect that they're underrepresented in national surveys. There are variable population definitions, and that's really been a huge challenge for us in terms of identifying the population. And this last point is not really a gap per se, but when we do look at prevalence studies, those that exist, We see that people who are diagnosed in the school setting, there's a larger prevalence of people with intellectual disabilities in the school setting than we see in the adult population. And it's been a question, how do we know what happens to this population? An intellectual disability is generally not something that is thought to disappear when you turn 18 or 22. So how do we know what is happening to this population? The gaps in surveillance have been recognized for many years. From a policy perspective and from the perspective of the individual, data is essential. And this is a quote from 2001. This has been going on for a while. We've been having these discussions. From a participant at a listening session at the Surgeon General's conference, and it says, "We're invisible in the data. We can't make people believe we need more services if we don't have data to back us up." So this has been a long-standing issue, and there has been a coordinated effort that in recent years that has been focusing on improving surveillance in this population. Starting in 2009, the CDC, the National Center for Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities, sponsored international meetings and developed really what was a white paper or a roadmap to describe how to get to surveillance in the population with intellectual disabilities. The first thing was to define intellectual disabilities operationally. That was number one. Number two, compile and synthesize the knowledge base, extend past analyses, pilot state or regional demonstrations, and that's where we're going to be focusing a bit today. And then we get to the magic at the very end of this roadmap is to develop sustainable approaches to expand surveillance. And the trick is getting from four to five, and we're working on it. Today we're really going to focus on two of these. The first is the operational definition of intellectual disabilities, and then some work at a pilot at the state level. Now, we've had discussions, and I've heard them over the past couple days, about things that have been developments from the Affordable Care Act that have really pushed the development and the integration of six disability questions into all surveillance efforts. My colleague Eric is going to talk about this a little bit more, but what we have found and what we suspect strongly is that the population with intellectual disabilities is not well identified with these six disability questions. And so we're still left with limited information about the health status of the national population with intellectual disabilities. So starting with the operational definition, that's really the foundation of surveillance in any population. You need to know who it is you're talking about. And not just who it is, but really how what the population is that's included and what the population that is not included in the group you're talking about. So going back to a project that that we completed over 2010-2011, we looked at the range of definitions that are available both in surveillance and in administrative databases, and we developed and proposed a definition that could be used as a way to start operationalizing this definition. The premise really starting from this was that we are not developing a new survey to look at the population with intellectual disabilities. That was thought to be cost prohibitive. So what we're really doing is trying to identify the population in available data. The definition, as it currently was proposed, is that adults with intellectual disabilities includes people who have intellectual limitations that significantly limit the person's ability to successfully participate in normal day-to-day activities. Limitations develop during the developmental period. People have anticipated long-term adaptive or functional support needs, and or they are eligible for state or federal public support programs because they have been diagnosed as having an intellectual disability. Now, the reason this is laid out this way is because we were incorporating a whole range of definitions. This is the conceptual definition that really describes the population. But what we then needed to do was to use this definition to try and get our arms around some of the actual data sets that were describing this population. Okay. So in a couple minutes, I just want to say what we've been focusing on then is the study that we've been working with RTI is to focus in not at this national data, but to focus down to the state level data and see where there might be data that could be used for surveillance. Our work has been to look at the case definition in state level data sets and to try and understand the sample frame, or to what extent the data that we are able to collect is actually representative of the state population. And I'll give an example. Within states, there are agencies that serve people with developmental disabilities, and often those states collect administrative data that can describe the population. But we know that not everybody with an intellectual or developmental disability actually receives services from those agencies. So what about the people who are not receiving services? How do we describe them? The state data pilot was to explore feasibility of using state-level data. It was really a sample of convenience. We reached out to a number of states using the National Association of State Directors of Developmental Disabilities Services, and we had 8 participating states that joined our study. The pilot states are laid out here. It includes Arizona, Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and Hawaii. We tried to vary the states that we included by their population size, their urban-rural distribution, the administrative structure, and whether the states participated in the CDC-funded state disability and health programs. So for each state, we developed data abstraction profiles. What we did was we reached out to state representatives, we had conversations with them, and we developed profiles that laid out the details of the data system that could potentially describe the population with intellectual disabilities and their health status. Now, going back to the population definition, I just wanted to point out if you look at this slide, there are 4 steps here, starting with number 1 on the left. And the first thing we were doing when we were trying to capture the population with intellectual disabilities was to say, well, is there a population that has been determined eligible for intellectual and developmental disability services in the state? That gives us a fairly high degree of specificity. Examples were state administrative data sets. Moving down, if we had other information that we could capture in other data sets, for example, whether somebody had an IQ of approximately 70 or below, or a diagnosis of a related condition, we would be asking about those data sets as well. But we found that probably the easiest and most efficient way was to capture people who had been eligible for intellectual and developmental disability services, and then some of the heavier lifting was to get to some of those data sets. This is essentially what I showed you in the slide before, but it's another visual way of identifying. If you start at the top left, really we focus in on first trying to capture people who have accessed this because they're receiving services because they've got a diagnosis of an intellectual disability. This shows briefly how we were able to capture or get information about data sets. And moving across the top, these are the steps. And really, the takeaway from this is that the first column is the column we were actually able to fill. We were able to get data in all states that describe the population to some degree or other if they're receiving services. As we move down to clinical diagnosis or related condition, it's much less likely that we were even able to get data that would describe this population. What this tells us is that our approach of just trying to start with state agency and state DD agency was probably the most effective approach. And this is my second last slide here. Briefly to describe this, what we wanted to look at was how representative might the data that we have collected be. And I've got three sample states here, and just briefly to describe them. In Massachusetts, we have an estimated population with intellectual disabilities of 103,600. That's using a prevalence estimate of 1.58%, which was developed by David Braddock in the State of the States. And then from that, an estimated adult population of approximately of 80,000. Now, the DD agency serves 32,000 people. That is about 39% of the estimated eligible adult population. And of that, there's a health record that captures information on about 10,000 of that population. So you can see we whittle it down pretty quickly when we start looking at the state data and what's available. Using Hawaii for another example, the state agency serves about 4,000 people, which is about 18% of the estimated eligible population. They had a system that was collecting health information. It says EHR with a question mark. But the state agency folks decided that they weren't going to continue that because it was seen as too difficult for staff to collect health information. That's another thing we found at state level, that there's a lot of variability in the consistency of collecting health information. The final example that I just wanted to share is South Carolina, where we were able to actually, that was the only state where we were able to extract some data, because South Carolina has a data cube that integrates data from public programs. It's a very well organized system in terms of integrating the data. And there are systems in place to access the data with hourly rates established, et cetera. The initial run yielded approximately 23,000 people with an intellectual disability, and that's looking across both the developmental services network and diagnosis codes in Medicaid. So that would give us probably the largest portion of population from looking at the data sets. So briefly, what have we learned to date in this project? There are some opportunities. We think that there are some opportunities in terms of the administrative data linkages, particularly using South Carolina as an example. We're starting to look into some of the all-payer claims databases that hold promise. Using the pathways approach that I described in terms of population identification can efficiently identify the population as we move towards surveillance of the broader population with intellectual disabilities. And one other takeaway that I want to highlight from this project is that the state data infrastructure, when you look at every state, and maybe this is obvious and doesn't even need to be said, is that it's really variable. Our finding is that you really need a champion at the state level who will support and work within the state to really focus in on health, identify health as an issue in their state. References, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. That was very, I think, very helpful. And I am from South Carolina, and I just want to say that since 1990, we can go back to 1990 and pull out any person who was in special ed. There is no private school for special education, so we're capturing a large portion of the people who were in special education, and we can follow them forward in time. So as time moves forward, because we're capturing people back to 1990, we'll have a better and better estimate of the real denominator for intellectual disability.